You're listening to Get Fed Today, one podcast designed to provide the Christian a hearty Bible study 5 days a week. While our mission is to showcase a variety of different Bible teachers, if you want to access more content from a particular pastor, simply listen to the end of the episode for additional information. On behalf of the entire team at Get Fed Today, it is our prayer that today's episode encourages your growth in the grace and knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ.
And welcome to Calvary Chapel, and we're so thrilled to have you here tonight to worship our God and to study this good word right here. And we're just so thankful that we can gather in the name of the Lord. And on midweek, we all came in here tired. I heard you. Hey, how you doing? Tired. We all kind of tired, and you know, but we're here and thankful to be here to study this good word. And so, So it was a long day for us as a church. It was a long day. Had a funeral this morning. Had to do, and then you know, quick turnaround and. You know, get to the house, get out of that suit. You know, it's funny. You know, as soon as I put the suit on, I was so ready to take it off. It's funny. When I was in high school, I used to wear suits every day. Carried a briefcase. I was just nuts. And that was my junior and senior year. Nuts. So, then later on, it was a stretch of time where, you know, I was wearing suits every Sunday and now you fight me to get into a suit now. So I was so ready to get that thing off. So got off, you know, took it off, changed clothes, sat a minute, exhaled, and then had to come back for tonight. And so we all tired. We're all a little tired. So. Let's dive into the Word of God together. Turn with me in your Bibles to Psalm 119 as we continue looking at the chapter of Psalm 119 throughout the rest of the summer. And, you know, it is summer in the Psalms, but I'm going to tell you we're going to have to fall into the Psalms as well, because this chapter is a whole lot there, and I just can't get through it in a timely manner. So it's going to take us possibly to the end of September or so, probably take us up to the anniversary or so. We'll see how it goes. So Psalm 119, we're going to be looking at verses 25 to 32. And Father, thank you so much that you love us and that you sent your son Jesus to die for us on the cross. And Lord, thank you for the forgiveness that we have in you. Thank you for the blood that washes us clean. Lord, I pray for your joy, Lord, to fill our hearts, because you said the joy of the Lord is our strength. And many of us need your strength today. It's already been a long week, and we're just in the middle of it. And so, God, we pray that you would now strengthen us through the teaching of the Word of God. In Jesus' name, amen. Psalm 119, looking at verses 25 to 32, and the title of this message is Revive Me, God. Revive Me, God. Now, the word revive means to restore to life or consciousness, to regain life. And there are times where we need this to happen to us spiritually, where we have allowed things in our lives that has slowly brought a type of death to us spiritually. So crying out to God for him to revive us through his word is the only solution. And we will see the psalmist cry out to God to revive him in these verses and throughout this great chapter that we're studying. Look what it says there in verse 25. It says, my soul clings to the dust. Revive me according to your word. And so as we move into the fourth letter of the Hebrew alphabet, Daleth. You remember that this chapter is an acrostic, and it is based upon the 22 letters of the Hebrew alphabet. And so here we are in the fourth Hebrew letter of the alphabet, Daleth. And the psalmist prays for revival. Now, he uses strong language to describe the condition of his soul. He said his soul clings to the dust. He felt near death in his soul, dry, dusty, thirsty. And he could only get this way by a continuous, consistent, or cleaving to something that was bringing death into his life. And maybe you hear it, and I just described you. Do you feel like your soul is clinging to the dust? The Hebrew word for cling is dabak, and it means to keep close, to be deeply attracted to or joined to something. What are you deeply attracted to that is bringing a type of death to your soul? What are you keeping close to you that is causing your soul to spiritually decline? What have you joined yourself to that ever since you did, you have begun to go down spiritually? Is it some new relationship that you found yourself in? You're like, oh, new relationship. But now as you have evaluated that new relationship, all of a sudden, spiritually, you have been declining. Is it a place you started going back to? Oh, you left that place. You went, I'm good. And lately, you just kind of been going back to it. And all of a sudden, you see a decline, a thirst in your soul. Whatever it is, you must echo the words of the psalmist that your soul is clinging to the dust. Notice it was from this low place a prayer for revival came. His prayer was that God will revive him, restore spiritual life back to him, and he knew that it would only come through God's word, the end of verse 25 says. He would repeat this in verse 107 as well as verse 154. Showing us that we constantly need reviving. In other words, it is not just a one-time prayer. Okay, God, revive me. Okay, I got it. I got it, God. I'm revived now. No, it's a continuous asking God to revive us. And the place of revival, or he's going to do it, is through the avenue of his word. Any revival that has happened throughout church history, and you've heard me say many times before that I love to study the history of revivals throughout the, well, church history. And the result was always getting back to the teaching of the Word of God. Every time revival took place, the result was the teaching of the Word of God was restored. So whenever we lose our appetite for reading, for studying, and meditating on the Word of God, then revival is needed. And the same is true with prayer. Every revival was preceded by prayer, every single one of them. And when you've lost your desire for prayer, whether that's personal prayer or collective prayer as a church, revival is needed. I say this because all revivals were always preceded by someone starting it out or a group of people praying. So no prayer, no revival. No Bible, no revival. However, the psalmist cries out of his thirsty soul for God to revive him according to his word. So he knew that the source of him being revived was going to be through the word of God. Look at verses 26 and 27. I have declared my ways, and you answered me. Teach me your statutes. Make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wondrous works. Now, I love these verses because the psalmist said that he declared his ways to the Lord and he answered him in verse 26. Or he confessed everything about himself to God and he answered him. Have you gotten to the point where you have confessed or declared your ways to the Lord yet? Now, what does that mean? Well, the Hebrew word for declared is sephar, and it means to recount, to proclaim, or to speak. So have you done this with God? Well, see, he knows your ways anyway. And some of you who are kind of cute was just say, well, if he knows my ways anyway, why I need to confess it to him? Oh, see, the confession is for you. You remember in Genesis chapter 3 and verse 9 where God asked Adam, Adam, where are you? It wasn't that God was saying, you know, bro, I don't see you. These trees, probably some redwoods, you know, and I don't see you. Where are you? Oh, he knew exactly where he was. He wanted Adam to confess where he was. And so to it, here the psalmist is doing just that. He's confessing. He said, God, you know, I'm confessing all my ways to you, as if to say, you know them anyway, and I'm confessing them to you. And so when our souls cling to the dust, like verse 25 said, is the time we are ready to do this. If you have not, then your soul is not quite clinging to the dust yet. If you're still making excuses or justifying why you're doing a certain thing, you're not ready to cry out for revival yet. You still think what you're doing is all right. It's not. It's not. If you sense the need to be revived because you notice that something isn't right with you spiritually, then cry out to God to revive you. Meaning you don't have to wait until your soul is clinging to the dust before you cry out for revival. You can cry out daily for God to revive you. I do it all the time. Oh, God, revive me because I'm in this dirty, filthy world. I wake up in it. And I'm like, oh, God, revive my heart for you. Now, how do we do this exactly? The psalmist knew that he needed God to teach him his statutes. The end of verse 26 says. He continues in verse 27 when he said, make me understand the way of God's precepts. He knew that he needed more than just knowledge from God. He needed understanding of what God's precepts were teaching concerning how to be revived by God. He didn't want more knowledge about God, more head knowledge about God. He needed to know the pathway of getting right with God and the pathway to revival. It wasn't like he needed more head knowledge. Okay, let me memorize a few more scripture. Now, that's good, and it has its place. But that's not what he's asking for. He's asking for God's precepts to show him the way to revival. He said, then I shall meditate on your wondrous works. I love how C.H. Spurgeon, that great prince of preachers, said concerning these verses. For those who don't know, C.H. Spurgeon, guy lived in the 18th century, prince of preachers. I mean, anytime you have written so many sermons that when they copied them all down, it came up to 63 volumes. You know you were preaching. You were doing some preaching. So he's considered the prince of preachers, you know. He said about these verses, he says that the psalmist was saying, I have told you everything about me. And the dryness of my soul and how it clings to the dust. Now, Lord, tell me everything I need to know about your precepts so I can meditate on your wondrous works. Now, I had to look this up. You know, I was running around crazy because normally, you know, if there's a certain Hebrew word I want to look up, you know, I have my phone there. I can just look it up or whatever. And so I, and this time I didn't panic, but I left my phone at home. And so I said, I don't even use my computer in the office. And so, you know, so I tried to, you know, I'm like desktop. I'm like, what is this thing? And, you know, click, and it just wasn't, I couldn't get online. I said, man. So I go all the way down to my wife's office. I said, okay. And she got all these things up and windows up. She got all this stuff. And I'm like, what is this? And so I looked up one word. I said, okay, let me look up this other word. And then the internet stopped working. I said, what is this? So before service started, I'm trying to chase down this one Hebrew word, and the word is wondrous. I was trying to search it down because I said, wondrous. I said, I wonder if it's the same Hebrew word that's used in verse 18, open up my eyes that I may behold wondrous things from your law. I said, I wonder if it's the same Hebrew word here. And I did all that running around, and it is the same Hebrew word. Pala is a Hebrew word, and it means surpassing, extraordinary. We talked about it when we were in verse 18, but it's the same Hebrew word that's used here. And verse 28, look at what it says there. It says, my soul melts from heaviness. Strengthen me according to your word. The psalmist is saying, Lord, my soul is shrinking. It's shrinking. It's melting away, which is what the Hebrew word dalef means. However, a definition I love from dalef, it has a few definitions. It means drip. And you're like, okay, drip. But it speaks of the dripping or the dropping of tears. And he said, you know, he said that my heart is dripping. As if I'm crying tears. My heart is crying tears here. And I wonder, have you been here before where your soul melts with grief over where you are spiritually? You look at your life spiritually and your soul cries. It weeps. That's the Hebrew word, dalef. Has your soul ever wept in need to be revived? He goes on to say, strengthen me according to your word. So when you find yourself in this condition, dive back into God's word. Come and hear God's word being taught collectively at church. Pick back up the word of God and start reading it. And especially above all else, start obeying it. I tell people all the time, the quickest way to grow is to read God's word and seek to obey what you read. Easier said than done. That's the quickest way to grow. You pick up God's word, read it, and seek to obey it. Ask God to help you to obey it. And God will begin to revive your soul once again. Look at verses 29 and 30. It says, remove from me the way of lying and grant me your law graciously. I have chosen the way of truth. Your judgments I have laid before you. Now, the psalmist understood the temptation to lie in verse 29, a lie about his spiritual condition. We can lie to ourselves about where we are spiritually. Proverbs 20 and verse 6 says, each man will proclaim his own goodness. Everybody think they're better off than what they are. So the psalmist understood the temptation to lie and not be truthful about where he is spiritually with God. But he prayed and asked the Lord to graciously grant him his law, which is like a mirror to show us our true spiritual condition, to show us where we truly are with the Lord. This is why for folks who stay home and try to do this spiritual walk by themselves, you remember the Bible says every man will proclaim each his own goodness. There's nothing to check you, you know. It's as if they're spiritually saying, who gonna check me, boo? It's like nobody is to check them, you know, and they think that they're right on and got something going. We can easily lie to ourselves. So the word of God is a mirror to show us where we really are spiritually. You know, our world is totally based upon one big fat lie. Did you know that? Every advertisement for every gadget, or promise, especially this one, promise for good health or weight loss is based upon a big fat lie. They say, you know, our supplement company promises to turn the clock back on your health. Every protein powder promises to build muscle and turn the clock back to when you're in your 20s. All lies. That dude called Father Time, that fictitious person, can't beat that dude. Can't beat that dude. You can try to slow him down, take him a few more rounds than other people have taken him. You can't beat that dude. The whole industry is a big fat lie. And I still buy them. You know why? In hope that someone is finally telling the truth. So I'm a sucker. You know, I got the little stick and the big lollipop came over my head. You know, because I'm hoping somebody is telling the truth. You make all these promises and it's advertisement after advertisement. And I'm just like, okay, I'm going to get that one now. I'm going to get that one. I'm hoping that someone is going to finally tell the truth and maybe allow for me to take Father Time a few more rounds, you know. So it is easy. It's just so easy to just lie like the rest of the world, deceive ourselves in thinking that we're 20 pounds lighter and we're actually 20 pounds heavier. And it's just, you know, so the psalmist prays that God will grant him his law where the truth is found, so he would not fall prey to the lying that so characterizes our world. Just know anything dealing with sales is a big fat lie. Now, you may be in sales here. I don't mean to offend you. It's a big fat lie. Big fat lie. It used to be a time, you know, the company, ding dong, come to your house. Okay, all right, I'm selling some towels here, you know. I don't want no towel. I got some towels in there. Oh, yeah, you need to have these towels. These towels are the towels. So instead of, you know, walking away and just say, okay, they don't want them, which color do you want? Now, you see how they shifted it down? They asked you what color. Now, you already say you didn't want it, but now what color? You're like, the blue one, the red one. Crazy, nuts, one big lie. Notice how the psalmist was able to be kept from lying because he said in verse 30, I have chosen the way of truth. So it's a choice. The Hebrew word for chosen is bakar, and it means to prefer or select it from a choice. Now, which one do you prefer, the lie or the truth? A lie can come so easily out of our mouths, but we have to choose to tell the truth. Yes, yes, a lie is a choice as well, but telling a lie seems to just naturally flow from our mouths. We have to fight against lies. You know, it said those cute little kids that you love, you know, them little, when they little babies you love, you know, they just love, they just, you know, a little squishy little face, you wouldn't just sniff on them, you know, that baby smell and all that. The Bible says in Psalm 58:3, they come forth speaking lies. You don't have to tell a kid to lie. Did you take those cookies? No, crumbs all over their mouth. And you don't have to teach that. They come forth speaking lies. Did you hit your brother? No. Then why is he crying and saying, yeah, hit me? Come forth speaking. It's natural for us. We have to fight to tell the truth. Now, I know you spiritual people, you really think that, you know, you don't have to fight, you know. But for us normal people, we have to fight because you can tell a lie, half truth, exaggeration. Preachers lie all the time. 500 people at the event and it was 50. I hear them all the time. You know, pastors get together, they just start their line, you know. Yeah, we had 1,500 people at the church on Sunday. And no, you didn't. Had maybe 600. But we lie all the time because we want to try to impress. We don't want people to think less of us. And so we get together and it's just a big lie fest, you know. And I just listen, you know. And I never tell other pastors what is happening here. I never do that because I don't want them to come. I don't want to come off as if I'm bragging or what. No. And, oh, Pastor, you got to boast in the Lord. Okay, I get you. But I just don't. I always talk about what's happening there, what's happening with their church and that sort of thing. Because, you know, and I just listen to what they have to say because people like to talk about themselves and what they got going on. People don't really care about what you have going on. So if you really want to, you know, have a conversation with someone, just ask them about themselves. They give you a big earful. So we have to fight to choose to tell the truth because a lie will just slip right out before you know it. All of a sudden, you know, you stop by the store to grab something and, you know, saw an old girlfriend or something. Got to chatting, and you know, next thing you know, remember those days? Yeah. Hey, honey, where you been? Oh, you know, I just stopped at the store. Why it took you so long? Oh, you know, and then next thing you trying to find some old buddy. I bet you did. But you didn't tell her it was old girlfriend. See, so we have to choose to tell the truth. Look at verses 31 and 32. It says, I cling to your testimonies, O Lord. Do not put me to shame. I will run the course of your commandments, for you shall enlarge my heart. Now, in order for the psalmist to choose the way of truth, he said in verse 31, I cling to your testimonies. Now, the Hebrew word for cling is dabak. It is the same Hebrew word used in verse 25, which means to keep close, to cleave, or to be joined to. He used this word the first time to describe how his soul was cleaving to the dust. And he asked the Lord to revive him according to his word. Now he is saying, I am going to be cleaving or keeping close to your testimonies as equally as I was cleaving to the dust. Oh, how I love how this Hebrew word for cling was used to describe. I love this. You dig a little deeper. I love it. The word cling, the Hebrew word. It was used to describe a shipwrecked man clinging to a floating plank in the sea. He is saying there is a sense of desperation that I'm having and demonstrating in this prayer. He didn't want to be ashamed, so he would cling to God's testimonies to keep this from happening. Now, after clinging to the dust in verse 25, he is now running. Well, running where? The course of God's commandments. Now, the Hebrew word for course is derek, and it means journey, it means distance or a pathway. In other words, the psalmist was saying, I am determined to run the journey of your commandments in order for me to cling to the course of your testimonies. And this is the classic definition of revival. To be restored back to life. This man was in the dust of despair, and now he is clinging to and running after God's testimonies and his commandments like someone taking a journey. He says, I was clinging to the dust in verse 25, and now we see him running, taking a journey through God's commandments. That's the classic definition of revival. He was only able to do this because because God enlarged his heart, the end of verse 32 says. Now, the Hebrew word for enlarge is rekab, and it means to grow wide. It speaks of making room for something. It was a similar thing that Jabez prayed in 1 Chronicles 4 and verse 10 when he said, "Oh, that you would bless me indeed, and here it is, enlarge my territory, that your hand will be with me, and that you will keep me from evil, that I may not cause pain." And so God granted him what he requested. The same thing happened with the psalmist. This is another classic example of revival. The psalmist saw God enlarge the territory of his heart so he could run the course of God's commandments and ultimately keep God's word, which is the sign of a revival, obedience to God's word. That's when you know revival has taken hold of your soul. It's when you're back on the path of obedience. Oh, somebody needs to hear that today, because you need to be revived. You know that revival has captured your soul when you see yourself obeying God's word, when you see yourself choosing truth and not lies. That's when you know that God has done it for you. He enlarged your heart for him. Enlarged your heart for his word. Enlarged your heart. And you're like, yeah, this is great. I can't wait to get to church and his word taught. I can't wait to read it in the morning. I can't wait. See, that you have been revived. Notice, remember, he started out in verse 25 with his soul in the dust. It just wasn't in the dust. It was clinging to the dust. It spoke of a desperate state that he was in. That now we see him running the course. He's ready to run the course of God's commandments. Whatever God's commandments tell him on his journey, he's about that life, and he's about doing it. Let me conclude with this. Now, in this message, "Revive Me, God," we saw how the psalmist recognized that he was dry, he was thirsty, and in the dust spiritually. So he cried out to God for him to be revived. I just wonder, is this happening to you? Do you find yourself clinging to the dust? Then it's time to cry out and confess your sin to God. And you will watch him enlarge your heart so you can run the course of his commandments and keep his word. Because without God, reviving of our souls, there's no way that we'll be able to keep God's word. Without God enabling us to keep his word. God has to enable us to keep his. We can't do it. You can't just say, okay, I'm determined. I'm going to get up and I'm going to do it in my own strength. Next thing you know, you wake up late and you know, you run around crazy. You didn't have any time for God's word. And you need to pray, oh God, strengthen me. Strengthen me to get up, to get into your word. Because there's so many things to distract. Oh, I got the kids. I got the baby. I got the whatever. I got the husband. I got the job. I got the what? I got the sports. I got the, just forever we got all that stuff. It won't mean jack when we get to heaven. You know, what sport your kid play down there? Nobody's going to care. Who's going to care? Sport. You see him there? The one we were singing holy, holy, holy to? Get off that sport thing. Pick up the second stanza. Holy, holy, holy. We're not going to care. It's about him. That's what it's about. And so there are times we're going to find our little souls clinging to the dust. And that's a time for us to cry out to God to revive us, to restore us spiritually, to restore us. And you know you're restored. You'll be obedient to the word. You'll start loving prayer. You'll start having a desire for the word of God. Can't get enough of it. You reading, and next thing you know, you couldn't read two verses. Now you're reading the whole chapter, and you just go, and just things are different. That's when you know God is reviving you from the inside out. May our families and those closest to us experience the fruit of us being revived. May they see it. May they experience it. And say, so what you been doing? What you on? I'm liking this. I'm liking this. Because you're about that God life now. And not about all that other tomfoolery that can take us away from God's word. May we be a church that experience revival. I've seen revival at our church before. I've seen it. I remember when we were at our old, many of you are here, we're at an old location down the street. And I remember when it was 2013. We were at 4 Sunday morning services. And I remember saying at one time, I said, I looked out at the 4th service. I said, are we going to have to go to a 5th service? I remember saying that. And then drama, tomfoolery kicked in, and then, you know, there was a nosedive. So I've seen it. I've seen revival. I've seen God work. And when we began to pray and be intentional about praying for revival, I saw it again. I saw it happen again. At 2016, oh, my goodness, from 2015 to 2016, I was speaking around the country. It was crazy. It was a crazy time. I was speaking all over the place, and it was just, I would come home, had to jump into 4 services, board meeting, staff meeting. I was just like, oh. And I remember December 2016, I took my secretary, because already 2017, the first half of it was already filled up. Two or more speaking engagements around the country. I said, please call them back. Call these folks and tell them I'm canceling my whole schedule. I just can't do it. I had nothing left. Can't do it. You always have a reservoir. But when the reservoir was dry, I said, I can't do it. I have nothing left. And then I called our church into a time of prayer. If some of y'all remember that, it was we just pray. On Wednesdays, we just pray. We just pray. We just pray. We just needed to pray. And praying for God to revive us. I needed the reviving, so I know if I needed it, if there were several people that needed it too. And we just prayed and prayed. We was only supposed to pray for the month of January, and it went into February. And went into March and April. I think I got back to teaching somewhere around May. I think April, May-ish or whatever. And God had to restore, replenish, revive. So I've seen it. I've seen it with my, and for those who have seen revival, you want to see it again. You're not content until you see it again. So let us just begin to pray and pray that God will truly revive us as individuals, revive our families, and revive our church collectively. And then once there is a revival in the church, then there will be an awakening in the community. There's a difference between revival and awakening. Awakening is when the community and the city experience the church being revived. Revive means to bring back to life again. The world never been brought to life. How can you bring them back? No. The church is the one that needs the reviving. And then once we're revived, then the community would experience an awakening as a result of the church being revived. It's a beautiful thing. So we began to pray that God will revive us, that God will bring us back to where he wants us to be. And watch, all of a sudden there will be a hunger for this, a hunger for prayer. There are some of you that used to be prayer warriors, and you've allowed life to kind of come in, and your soul is clinging to the dust. It's time for you to cry out. Before that man even finished this little stanza of verses here, he was already revived. God did it, and he can do it in us as well. Let's pray. Lord, thank you. Thank you for your word, Lord. We pray, God, that you will forgive us for anything we have allowed to come into our lives to cause our souls to cling to the dust. And Lord, we just pray that you'll revive us again. Bring us back to life again. Give us a hunger for the word, for prayer, for the teaching of the word. Oh God, get us up out of our lethargy, out of our slothfulness. And Lord, revive our hearts. Lord, we want to experience your revival. And Lord, we want this community, this city, this area, our country to experience an awakening. Oh Lord, I read about the awakenings you have done around this country throughout history. Lord, do it again. Do it again, Lord. But we pray that you do it in us first. And Lord, thank you that you hear our prayers. Work in us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you for listening to Get Fed Today. Today's sermon comes from Pastor Tony Clark. If you enjoy the message, you can access more of Pastor Tony's teaching ministry by visiting calvarynn.org.